This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Anthony Beauvillier is going from Pittsburgh to Washington. The Capitals were looking for another forward, and they get one. I believe it's a second-round pick going back in return. And the Winnipeg Jets have acquired defenseman Luke Shen from the Pittsburgh Penguins. Luke Shen, of course, was traded from Nashville to the Penguins a couple days ago in that Michael Bunting-Tommy Novak trade, and he now goes to the Jets. And one of the things about Winnipeg is they like a little bit of certainty, and Shen does have another year on his contract.
All right. Good afternoon. Greetings, and welcome to The Machine. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller across from me. Donnie on his way to a hot tourist destination, Staten Island, New York.
Scenic Staten Island, New York.
So Sean Randy Myers is producing us today over the next 4 hours. We have a ton to talk about. Penguins, trade, scuttlebutt rumors, and actual moves. We'll see what happens between now and 3. We have Hal Gill, former Penguin, later this hour to talk about not only Tommy Novak, but some of his Penguins memories. We're looking forward to that. We might get Tyler Kennedy on the horn here. If something big happens, we'll hear from Kyle Dubas. We also can't ignore the Steelers, with this probably being the last time we all talk to each other before they start to make moves, because it opens for them noon on Monday with the legal tampering period. Kabali will be in studio, and we also have a special guest at 5:15 on that. So it is jam-packed wall-to-wall. I just gleaned from what you told me off the air that Starkey has been critical of Kyle Dubas. I don't think he's being critical of Kyle Dubas's moves today. He's probably being critical of the total resume in Pittsburgh of Kyle Dubas, which I would agree with. And that's why I would say, as far as his work goes at this trade deadline, it's reminiscent to me of a kid who brings home a report card and he's getting F's in English and science and history, but you do see the A there in art. You do see the fact that when it comes to using the kiln and turning
the kiln,
clay objects into works of art, being able to use a watercolors maybe nicely.
Was he Bob Ross?
That, you know, the kid does have a knack for art. I mean, he does have an artistic bone in his body. But everything else is really bad. This, to me, is that's what's happening here with Dubas. Like, I will give him credit. He got a second-round pick for Anthony Beauvillier, who is a one-year rental, just guy that plays up and down your lineup, and probably, if your team is a really good team like the Capitals trying to win a Stanley Cup,
a fourth liner
might be, or watching games
healthy
in the press
stretch,
box.
Right.
Yes.
Sean Gentile, an A on the return there.
There should be an A for that, but that's an A on a pop quiz that counts for
1% of the grade.
1% of your grade or something like that. Yeah. And so in the if we're going to do this as a what have you done for me lately exercise, then we should be saying nice things about Kyle Dubas. I'm happy that they sat down with Luke Shen, another one of these Kyle Dubas guys who he had in Toronto, who's very old, so he would have fit in with this team. And they said, hey, we have a desire to keep you. But he said, no, I want to go to a good team. And they took him up on that offer because I see no use for a dude in his late 30s who is the NHL's all-time leader in hits by a defenseman.
So you're saying that it was a bad decision for me to order a Luke Shen Penguins jersey when they traded for him?
No, well, it depends how you feel about what we're going to hear next. I believe Sean, he's trying to step up his game here with Donnie out, has prepared a nice Luke Shen tribute. Do we have that?
Yeah, I put a lot of work into
this. This is the Luke Shen Penguins tribute montage that we have prepared for. Oopsie.
Rank the two. Here, I'm going to ask you a tough question, Pony.
Yeah.
Rank these two tenures. Who had the more impressive run? Spencer Horwitz with Cleveland? Luke Shen with Pittsburgh? I can't even put Mike Piazza on the Marlins there.
I'm going to say Shen.
Played.
Listen to everything he brought to this team. Character, grit.
He's great in the locker room. Did he ever set foot in the locker room?
Look, this team stinks. One of those guys over there out in Vegas, a Kingurski, a Yoey, has to ask Sullivan after the game, Mike, just if you wouldn't mind, can you rank some of your favorite Luke Shen moments?
Tell us about what Luke Shen brought to this team in his tenure? You think Sullivan would be in a joking mood about that one?
Probably not if they lost. But then
how
again,
the mighty have fallen. I want to play for a contender. That's usually what people used to say to get to the Penguins. Get me the hell out of here. I want to go play for
a
good team.
And I'm happy that they said, great, we'll do that for you. We won't make you hostage on this team like Mike Tomlin hates. We don't have a use for all of those things that Sullivan just waxed poetic on. We'd rather get two more picks back. They have 12 picks in the 2025 draft. They have 8 picks in the 2026 draft. That's 30 picks in the next three drafts. 17 in the first three rounds.
Yeah, they have the most in the first three rounds in the NHL in the next three drafts. They have the most total. I mean, all of those are, we're going to pick a player, sign the player, and build our team. They better be used as assets in trades eventually that they're starting to make.
So a lot of seconds and a lot of thirds. If you had to guess...
Mm-hmm.
I went back and from 2010 to 2019 because I wanted to go far enough back where I could pull players and reasonably be able to look at what their careers are. Because if I did the last couple of drafts, not many of those guys are in the NHL.
Yes.
So 2010 to 2019.
Mm-hmm.
How many second and third round picks from those 10 drafts do you think have gone to an all-star game?
Second and third round picks from a 10-year span.
Have been deemed all-star players.
Which it's easy to get onto an all-star team anymore.
So that's about 60 or so picks
in two
a year.
Rounds, yeah. So 600 players.
Yep. How many are all-stars or have been an all-star?
I'm going to say 28. So under 5%.
Sean, you want to go
so
you want to say above or below that?
So I said about, 4.8%.
There's less. Fewer.
There are fewer.
My mom would be very impressed about the grammatically correct usage.
24.
I wasn't that far off.
No, you weren't.
For a wild stab, I was not far off. No, they are.
It's hard to
they're
find.
They're ultra lottery tickets.
It's hard to find. You can find solid players. It's hard to find really good players in those rounds.
There's a reason in like the later rounds people talk about Zetterberg and Hornquist as being Hornquist case Mr. Irrelevant. Zetterberg was a seventh round pick. They're the exceptions that generally prove the rule. In hockey, you're building a team on first round picks, typically, like the real moneymaker players.
So I think that Dubas deserves praise for what he was able to get for these low end players. To get something that might turn into a young player or at least a trade chip with a draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
But that should not give people warm and fuzzy thoughts because he's effed up his big moves. And so that's probably why, you know, when we reached out to have Dubas on today after he talked, we didn't even get a response because I think he understands that his I can't even say that. I think his approval rating is really a polarizing topic. I think some people think he's doing a good job given what the situation he inherited. And I think others are like actually way underwhelming. And I would probably fall more into that camp than the other camp because he got off to such a terrible start with his big ticket moves.
I mean, if you take it, I think it's a lot of it is what do you think his real marching orders were from the start? And here's what the people I've talked to have given me this opinion. They think more towards like he's been a disappointment. He's been underwhelming because he really was trying to build a team that got back to the playoffs. And those moves weren't just those moves against that backdrop. Like, hey, I actually think these are good things that are going to help us were colossal busts. The Jarry deal and then the Graves deal. And so I think like now, here's what I don't get. Maybe you could help me talk through this briefly. You mentioned all those picks they have. You just did the ratio, how many second and thirds for a decade-long span became All-Stars. Why are people, I guess, so overwhelming, who are like pro-Dubas, so overwhelmingly convinced that this is all going to work? That his rebuild will take? What it's really going to take is that they're the worst team in the NHL and have the lottery ball go their way. I guess I was already looking down the rabbit hole through Jesse Marshall's Twitter feed because Jesse's all over like the prospects 3 years from now. There are a couple more quasi-generational type of talents coming up. They need to get one of those guys or preferably both. When you have a Crosby and a Malkin, it's usually easier to jumpstart a rebuild. But like the idea that he has amassed all these picks and he can wheel and deal and turn them back into a contender, I think puts a lot of faith in two things. His acumen, like his ability to make the right moves, and then just this idea that there is such a depth of talent in the NHL draft every year that you're going to be able to cobble together a good team with the picks you actually do use on players.
It took them picking at the top of the draft 4 times. To build the core of the team that became
Malkin, Crosby, Fleury.
A Stanley Cup staple. Exactly. So it wasn't just one. Wasn't just like 1 year of hardship or pain and suffering. And you're saying that there's Dubas acolytes out there that think that this treasure chest of picks is going to lead them to the promised land?
I've seen a lot of people
speak very broad. Those people are delusional.
I'm not going to say who they are because then we would be really casting some aspersions.
Oh, I love aspersions on a Friday.
I'm not taking out my fishing rod and casting any aspersions here. I'm just saying
it's a Lent Friday. We can get the aspersions going.
I am not going to
aspersions. The time of year for aspersions.
There is no time of year for aspersions to be cast. Maybe I'll tell you off the air. It'll be a juicy blind item. But I have seen people very broadly express a lot of belief that this man is the right man to turn it around. And what you're seeing right now is like evidence of that he is doing such a great job of amassing. I watch enough hockey to know that a lot of these rebuilds where the best laid plans are put out there, we're going to amass picks, we're going to make shrewd moves, we'll have cap space, don't work out because you don't have a dude or dudes plural who are even close to the Crosby Malkin type of level.
That's why I think like we should not give him huge credit for nailing the minor moves and getting the major moves so wrong.
I don't even think he deserves that much credit for like correctly doing what anybody would do in a rebuild, which is amassing picks and trading assets.
But to make an analogy into another team, it would be like if you're a Pirates fan thinking that Ben Cherington claiming Joey Bart off waivers washes away the sins of using the first overall pick on Henry Davis or something like that. You screwed up the big decision that you had to make, but you absolutely hit a home run with like the little tiny decisions on the margins. That's what Anthony Beauvillier and Luke Shen trades are. We're still dealing with the GM who thought that giving Ryan Graves that contract was a good idea. How the hell could you trust that guy?
Charlie Borges told us that deal sucked the day it was
signed. I don't give a damn what the marching orders were or who the previous GM was. He gave that deal to that guy.
I think that's do you agree with me that that's and Jari's extension, that's the more indefensible, right? Because I feel that way. I do think there were probably voices in that organization who would have leaned on him, said, no, we believe in Jarry. I don't think that needed to happen because I think he did believe in him. But the Graves one is the complete Kyle Dubas unforced error. Like, he's playing tennis and he just had a forehand and he just whacked it into the stands and it sucked. And he's got two contracts that he dealt that he gave out that are buyout candidates. Two that are that bad.
Coming up next, we'll give you the hottest Steelers rumor of the day. If a Penguins deal happens, we will immediately react to it all afternoon long. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder, personal injury law firm, they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Right now with Sean Myers headline.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
All right, let's do some breaking news here. Mike's Beer Bar, Fan Beer of the Month, Hey Honey from Two Phrase Brewing, benefiting Young Adult Survivors United, right up Mulsey's alley.
Hey Honey?
Yeah. All right, so we are watching NHL Network. I don't think that station's been on in studio in years. They've just transitioned to their own coverage, which goes to show you kind of what a Mickey Mouse operation this is, where before 2 o'clock, they were just airing Sportsnet's coverage of the trade deadline. It's your league's like biggest in-season news day. Don't you think you would have, I don't know, your own people talking about it for hours?
I would think so, yes.
Yeah. Anyways.
But isn't that kind of the whole bit with the NHL? That they have unforced errors like this all the time?
So how about this? The GM of the Seattle Seahawks, John Snyder, apparently yesterday went on the flagship station of the Seahawks in Seattle and said that he confirmed Metcalf has requested a trade. They're entertaining that. And that they had talked to a ton of teams taking offers, seeing what that looks like. Text I just got back during the break. Steelers, one of those teams. They've talked.
I got to give a shout out to
a conversation.
No, I know. He's not Faribault.
Hello, this is the Steelers.
I know.
Oh, this is the Seahawks. Good to hear from you. What have you been up to? Just in quarterback hell ever since Ben left. How about you guys? Oh, yeah, we heard about that. You had our old guy, Russ.
How was that? Not great. Yeah, we can tell you how that goes. I have to give Zach Smith credit. I always get him confused with Faribault. They could do a great WWE tag team. Just Big Bash Brothers of news breaking.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Smith did, I think, tweet out. I saw him say, I want to say it was yesterday, like say very definitively, they have called on Metcalf. They were one of the teams inquiring.
Who does he work for?
Right off the bat. Zach?
Yes. I want to give his outlet.
He's under that
here.
Very large, like golf XL sized Saunders umbrella, the ever spreading Saunders umbrella.
So I have to credit Saunders umbrella?
The Pittsburgh Sports Now, the Alan Saunders
Pittsburgh
umbrella.
Sports Now had it first, and no, I'm just telling saying, you I'm, that I'm hearing the same thing.
I'm crediting him personally because
isn't that
he
the
had
guy that's tatted up and fun and kind of looks like a slender version of Jelly Roll? Who's like a
yeah? I would say like he's a much small. He's like a kid sized Jelly Roll. Yes,
a fun sized Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
And
he seems like, I've never hung out with him, he seems like he would be a fun guy to hang out with.
And I think when I've said things like I'll get a tattoo of something if this happens, he's been amused by it.
Yes. Okay. You know what he does? He gets the show. Some people don't get the show. He gets the show. And I did see him say something yesterday. Like, for example, he said the Seahawks, it was Diana Russini, the Seahawks are seeking a first and third round pick from Metcalf, and he's seeking a $30 million contract. He wrote, I'm seeking Dua Lipa's hand in marriage, and I'm also eyeing starting a family with her. I like tweets like that.
You are the guy that sent out a tweet last night after Robert Morris won. I guess it's wrong state.
I said more like wrong state.
Did you get a big pop for that?
Cassidy Wood over at KDK TV for some reason liked that. Extremely corny.
Anyone else?
And bad dad. No, I think it got absolutely no sold. I think I got the Undertaker treatment there. I probably deserved it, man. I mean, it was like a minimal effort joke.
I like DK Metcalf if certain things align for the Steelers. And I don't think that those... By the way, I think he said he doesn't want to play in a place like Pittsburgh. He wants to go to a warm weather place with a good quarterback or something along those lines.
He played at Ole Miss, so I mean, he was in pretty warm weather when he was in college.
Is Mississippi known for warm weather? The whole state?
I'd say the Gulf Coast is. Okay. Oxford's a little bit... No, it gets chilly in Oxford.
I think humans in general just gravitate towards warm.
But wouldn't, if you had to pick between a day that was
like... Oh, hold on. Breaking news. Huge trade. Look over your left shoulder.
Oh, Pony, I got to leave.
I
got to leave.
Do we have a sounder here for something like this, Sean?
Can we get like a breaking glass sound or something?
We have nothing.
Can you give us anything? Just play something from the soundboard. Anything. I don't care if it's the Big Ben sound effect.
We're just stealing drops from the midday show.
What is this, like Chuck-a-Luck at the county fair?
Cody Glass from the Penguins to the Devils. Did not have that on my...
We hardly
Penguins
knew ye,
trade
Cody.
Deadline bingo card today.
Hardly knew ye. Man, look at Bedreau up there.
We actually have a Cody Glass tribute. Too emotional. I don't need it, really.
How many high school seniors do you think in like 1997...
Dance to that,
and if they made the right moves, perhaps got lucky
Definitely
afterwards.
Got played at my 7th grade mixers that we had.
My brother's 4 years older than me, and so he graduated high school in 99. He said that was that and her, what was her other song that was also very Angel or whatever?
Yep. I know the one you're talking about.
He said those two songs were like the slow dance songs of every dance that year.
So I said I'd like Metcalf for the Steelers, even though he has expressed already that this
doesn't want to be here.
Team would not really, make the final cut for him. If you told me that I could trade Pickens for a third, and then I traded a second for Metcalf.
Okay.
So I'm only moving back around, mm-hmm. and I'm upgrading wide receiver.
And I have to guarantee that wide receiver big money.
I do that. Because he's in his 20s, and he's a little bit older than Pickens, but I trust him more.
Presumably a happy player and, if he gets the money he wants.
And I'm okay with moving back 40 spots in the draft, let's say, or something like that, to make a move like that happen. But I don't know. I wouldn't want... Well, yes, they need playmakers, and they need more than one. But I don't want to not completely strip the cupboard bare, but I don't want to move out picks for a team that doesn't have a quarterback just to fill up that wide receiver room and give out a ton of money to a wide receiver that's going to be 30 in a couple years.
So here's from a building your team standpoint where I think you can sell me on that making sense, at least. Like, you're shipping out Pickens, who I think was always going to have people holding their breath here, even in the best of times. Metcalf obviously gets upset when the ball doesn't come his way, but I don't think anybody in the NFL is on George's level with that, at least visibly. If you're going to draft your next quarterback, your true next quarterback next year, having, let's say, what would it be, two or three more years of DK Metcalf to like start the guy's career, probably a pretty good thing for a young quarterback, right? Hey, there's going to be four or five plays a game, and maybe two of them work, where the play call is max protect and hope the very large human being runs by the guy trying to check him, and you throw it about as far as you can. Kind of like poor man's Randy Moss strategy early in his career. Not the same kind of athlete, much bigger guy, bulkier. But I could be sold on it under those auspices, Pony.
Penguins got a first-round pick for Glass.
No, they didn't.
You're right. That was a parody account that just sent that out. Damn it. I don't know what they got back then.
Why did you say that on the air? Because what if I don't check you there and I just take you at your word? What was it, like Elliot with six T's Friedman?
No,
Was it Ballsack Sports?
Now that I'm looking at the Sports Talk thing here, it was very obvious that this was not something real. Oh, well. Hal Gill set to join us next. That'll be fun. I think he's watched every single one of Tommy Novak's games. He also won a friggin' Stanley Cup playing for the Penguins. His take on what it's like watching Sid and this team rebuild from afar, and what he thinks on so far the biggest name the Penguins have acquired at the trade deadline. Still a half hour to go on that. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Back in 3 minutes, it's the PM team.
I would anticipate him playing center. Obviously, that's a position that he played in Nashville. You know, we're excited about getting to know his game a little bit more closely. But obviously, our hockey operations group is really excited about this guy. He's a younger player. He has good size. He's had a couple of pretty good years in Nashville. Maybe a little bit of a down year this year, but prior to that, he's played pretty well. So he's a guy that we're going to explore where we think he might best fit. I don't know that I have the right answer for you right now. I think there's going to be a little bit of a process going through that we all go through with him to figure out how we set him up for success.
And if you are a Corsi guy, you think the Penguins just got Steve Yzerman light. His Corsi numbers are through the roof. That is one of the analytic terms
out
there.
Explain Corsi to somebody who's parachuted in from Mars today.
Having the puck on your stick when you're out on the ice.
How does it differ from Fenwick?
Oh, I honestly couldn't tell you.
Because Corsi and Fenwick are big ones.
Corsi seems to have overtaken Fenwick.
Oh, no. They're Fenwick is
I know, but I'm saying among the things that people care about, it seems like Corsi on those power rankings for the analytics geeks is one, and Fenwick is two.
Oh, it's a Corsi world. We're all just living in it.
Yeah. Tommy Novak, better Corsi stats than Sid this year. Penguins have had a field day acquiring old Predators. So Novak, they flip Shen. They also just flipped another guy they got from Nashville, Cody Glass, to New Jersey for a third-round pick. Still 25 minutes to go here. In the NHL 2025 trade deadline, Raquel sounding like it's more likely he stays than goes, but not out of the question he gets traded. And Erik Karlsson, there's absolutely no rumors on that front right now. All right, fan hotline. Let's go there. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We are so excited to introduce to you, back in the Berg, a Penguin Stanley Cup champ. Right now, he is a color analyst for the Nashville Predators. You remember him as the USS Hal Gill, the great Hal Gill. Hail, Andrew Filippone and Chris Mueller. How you been?
Guys, thanks for having me on.
Hal, during that 09 Cup run, I must say, you were one of my favorite players on that team, having come over the year before, and it might be one of my top three favorite nicknames in all of sports, the USS Hal Gill. Were you called that before you got here? Because my memory is it was applied by a Pittsburgh fan, and it kind of stuck.
Yeah, it was a Pittsburgh fan. I was not referred to as the USS before that. I can't remember. There was it was before memes or anything.
It was the Pens blog was the site, I think.
It was pre-meme.
And they had a picture of a battleship with my head on the front. And I think that's where it came from. I believe that's where it came from. But, that was fun. Those guys had a good time. And I remember, everyone had a name. When you go on a cup run and 2 years in a row you do it, everyone gets a name. So it was fun.
What do you remember about that 09 run, having been beaten by Detroit and then obviously going over them in the finals in a classic Game 7, just that 09 team and the motivation? Like, what sticks out to you about that group and what you guys accomplished?
Yeah, it's funny. I kind of put it all together. I put 08 and 09, and everyone says you win a cup and you know, what was that all about? And what do you remember about that series? And really, it was 2 years of ups and downs and some of the best highs I've ever had and some of the dark lows, going from losing in game six in 08 and then going and having a pretty dreadful start to the 08-09 season. And then the coaching change, and I was a healthy scratch, and then I ended up playing, and it was a whirlwind, but I put it all together to make one of the best memories or best 2 years of my life. Although there's ups and there's some downs in that, it was something I'd certainly cherish. It was pretty awesome. And the guys too, right? Being around the boys and we had some good times.
Does Hal Gill still keep in touch with Rob Scuderi?
Yeah, Scud is doing player development for the Preds, so I see him quite a bit. Yeah, the piece. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I know that one too. The piece.
We weren't born yesterday. We know all about the piece here. Very familiar with the piece.
Legendary. And he loves it when I call him the piece all the time. Every time I see him.
Now, we do want to ask you about this deal, and we brought you in by. But you were listening to Mike Sullivan give a scouting report on Novak. The people that go deep in the weeds on the numbers seem to love this kid and say that he's much better than the actual production, classic, traditional stats say about him. Hal, you watch every one of his games in Nashville. What can you tell us about the biggest name the Penguins picked up at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think he was pretty accurate. The size is not there. He doesn't have the size. Sully was off on that one. But the puck possession, his ability to knife through the neutral zone, defensively, I think he's gotten better. He was playing on the wing for a bit, and I think he looked pretty good on the wing, believe it or not. But as a center, moving through the neutral zone is really his strength, and his ability to make plays and knife through. He's really hard to get the puck off of when he's little exchanges. He can dish and he can make plays. Early in his career, he started off as a half wall power play guy. And I think he was really good there, but he didn't have the ability to get to the interior. And he's really picked that up on his game now, and I feel like he's having success when he does get there. He's got a sneaky good shot, too. So if he can create some space, which a lot of times he does just because he's so shifty, he can shoot and he can let it rip. So he probably should have had more goals this season. He hit a bunch of posts. And he had some bad breaks, just like it looks like he's got a great chance and he didn't bury it, but he had a ton of looks. So you could probably add five or six more goals easy to his stats from this year. But, I think you'll like him. He's a lot of fun to watch.
Hal, on a good team in a perfect world, is he a third-line center, or is there a possibility that he could be a second-line center if his game develops a little more? Where do you kind of see him slotting in for, let's say, a playoff caliber team?
Yeah, if you're going playoff caliber, I think you need to give him some size on his wings or give him someone big, because, when he's playing against one or two centers, it's tough. It's tough for him to make the plays that he wants to make when he's battling a 6'2", 6'3 guy. So, I don't think that's necessarily his strength, But I think if you had a contender, and that's what we were hoping in Nashville, is he'd be that third line guy, third line center that would, you know, you match up your two best lines, and then how do you deal with Tommy and the way he plays? Because he can make better players around him and make them better. And I think he would be that third line guy on a contender. But it's a challenge for him size wise. He's not going to go and run anyone over. And so I think he's kind of on a contender. He'd have to be third line.
Hal Gill with us here, Penguin Stanley Cup champ. He is a color analyst for the Predators, so he knows the big Penguins pickup at the deadline here. Tommy Novak inside and out. Hal, when you remember that Stanley Cup season, what is your favorite Sidney Crosby story from it?
Oh, God. I don't know. I think Sid was, you know, like I look at when I got traded, you know, Sid, it was intense. Like he would not, like he didn't have an off switch, you know, like I remember maybe not a story, but it was a recurring theme. You know, if he took his tape off and threw it in the trash and missed, he'd get up, go get it, bring it back to his seat and shoot it again until he got it in. You know, he did that with pretty much everything in his life. He wanted to be perfect at something and he wouldn't let it slide until it was. And I think maybe the best story is, I was in warm up and I was skating around and my skate didn't feel right or something. And I went and got it sharpened and went back to the bench, had it looked at and came out. And he was standing there waiting for me to get back out there. And he said, and they started yelling at me, like, let's go, let's go. And I said, Sid, why are you all over me? And he's like, because last game we won, I passed it to you when you went down there at the 12-minute mark in warm-ups. And I was like, wow, this guy is way too dialed in. You know, he was,
dude, that is some superstitious freak behavior, right? There, Hal. Holy
right.
cow!
And we all know his warm up and how he runs it, but it's not just his warm up; it's the whole team's warm up, and everyone has to do it. And I will give him a ton of credit. I thought he was a whiner and a brat, of course, playing for the Bruins against him and playing Toronto against him. But as soon as I got traded, I realized what a beast he is and how hard he works. And I do remember one time. We won the game and he didn't have any points and I thought he was pouting. And so I went up and I'm like, Sid, we won the game. Like, stop pouting. And he looks at me and he goes, you know what? Someone, one of our teammates broke a foot blocking a shot at the end of the game. And he goes, I should have had 3 goals tonight and we never would have gone through that. We never would have had the block shots at the end of the game. And he goes, that's on me. I got to be better. And
man.
I was like, okay. That kid was dead.
Hey, Hal, one more story. I'm wondering if you have one at least. You say all that stuff about how intense he was, and it's so much talked about around here, the impact that Bill Guerin had on him once you guys traded for him in 08-09. Can you tell us, are the stories true that he basically just came in there and immediately took aim at Crosby to loosen him up?
100%, yeah, absolutely. I remember I was on the bus, and I made fun of Sid right when I got there, and Ryan Whitney turned around to me, and he said, No, we don't make fun of Sid. And I was like, shut up, he's on our team. We're going to make fun of him. Of course we're going to make fun. I make fun of everyone. And he goes, just be careful, man. He's sensitive. He'll take it hard. And I was like, no, he's fine. And so he was okay. He was good. But we didn't go at him too hard. Billy Guerin, on the other hand, had the star power. And we all know Billy.
Yep.
He came in hard. And I remember he dressed up like him. He got big fake teeth and he wore all his equipment the exact same way he did. And it was like one of the first times and Sid just died laughing. So, good memories, but Billy absolutely lightened him up. He was great for Sid. And I think, long-term, it wears a guy down to be serious all the time. And that's why he's so good, is because he's so focused, but there needs to be an off switch, and I think Billy really helped him do that.
What did Hal Gill do his day with the Stanley Cup? Where did you bring it, Hal? Who was there? What did you do with it? What were the memories like from that all-time seminal moment when you win a Stanley Cup with the Penguins and then you get Lord Stanley for a day?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I brought it. I was up in Boston. I was living in Boston in the summer, and so I I brought it to my high school, had a fundraiser in the morning. I went to, my family has a farm outside of Boston, so we brought it out there and probably had way too many people down on the farm having a good time. Then I brought it back into my little neighborhood in the north end of Boston and walked it around to all the restaurants there.
Man,
and, that's got to be a great feeling.
Yeah, and then we went to the USS Constitution and on the patio in the harbor, and we had a good party there.
Two battleships right there. Two big battleships.
That's right.
How about the ring? Is it in a special place, and do you ever bring it out and wear it from time to time?
Special occasions, I bring it out. And I run camps, so I bring my ring out so the kids can see it and kind of enjoy that. But, I got to be honest with you, I wish they made it smaller so I could wear it more often, you know?
Yeah.
It's so massive, even on my hand, it looks enormous. So it's tough to walk around with.
Hal, one more random one. And part two of this won't happen if part one is a no. Are you a golfer?
Yes, I am.
All right, I will be.
I don't know, but I do golf.
Okay. I am going to be in Nashville in like a month. You got any good public course recommendations while I'm down there for a couple days?
Ballsy, yeah, looking for the hookup.
Go out by the old Opry. They got a great course out there.
By the
Not
old?
Too far from the city. You'll enjoy it out there.
All right.
Hal, great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for the skinny.
We got some great courses down here, though. You can plug around and find some.
And some great bars, which is usually where I tend to go instead, the 19th holes. Hal, you're
exactly
the best, man.
Right.
We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, Hal.
It seems like the Penguins and Predators are making trades left and right with each other, so we'll probably try to do it again.
Know.
All right, brother?
On a swivel. We never know what could happen on a day like this.
Thanks, so, Hal.
Enjoy it, guys.
There you go. Hal Gill, former Penguin Stanley Cup champ.
I think it was Jesse Marshall who gave him the USS Hal Gill nickname.
Seriously?
It was either Jesse or one of the denizens of the Pens blog back then, which I read religiously in those days, named Stoosh.
The one... it was at the trade deadline. I forgot about this. He got traded to the Penguins.
Yep.
From the Maple Leafs in late February of 08.
It was classic. They needed a physical defenseman for that team. They needed a big physical, kind of a wide body. And he was one of those deals. And it works this way usually when you have a lot of the other pieces in place. It really was one of those situations. Hey, they need this. Hey, he fits that basic type. And it just fit perfectly.
I have to tell you a very quick story here. So one of the reasons why I felt comfortable reaching out to him was when I was in Nashville a couple of years ago with Giannotti for the stadium series. He had a hookup. We got invited. We went and watched the Lightning play the Predators at the Titan Stadium.
Okay.
So Greg and I stayed an extra day, and the next night we go to this hockey bar, and I mean, you can't miss Hal Gill.
6'7".
He walks in. He sits down. Hey, you're Hal Gill. Greg worked in Pittsburgh. I work in Pittsburgh. And we just start throwing
BS
the Caulfields and Aries out there and guys he played with and stuff. So there's a poster, like a kid's poster that you'd put on your wall that was him, like up to, you know, just like showing you exactly how tall and massive he is. Like, oh my God, this is a life size.
Oh, yeah, like one of those
seven posters.
Yeah, measures up kind of things. Yes. Okay.
So there was a guy in there with his son who was probably like 9 or 10 years old. And I'm watching them look at the poster. And I say to Hal, I'm like, dude, you need to walk up to them right now and say, hey, can you take my picture in front of this poster and just watch their reaction when they realize the person on the poster is you. And he goes, and he had probably 2 or 3 beers in him. And he's like,
two or
done.
Three, huh?
And I watched the whole thing happen. And it was just hilarious.
Did it have the intended outcome you thought it would?
He's a super good guy. He's a big guy. He's a strong guy. And he's a nice guy. And
Hal
a good
Gill.
Guy. Hal Gill. All right. 10 minutes away from the NHL trade deadline. Let's see what happens next. Will the Penguins trade Rickard Rakell? Still time to do it. If it happens, we'll react to it. If it doesn't, we will give opinions on if it was a good call to keep him. 412-928-9370. Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment at the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. It's the PM team.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City. Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.